This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Welcome to my podcast, where we are going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and threw in a few life lessons along the way. Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat-out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward. So grab your leads, lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Are you looking to unlock your dog's full potential and give them the best nutrition possible for peak performance? Then look no further. Anookshuk has what you're looking for. Anookshuk's nutrient-dense formulas are crafted to keep your dog's energy high and performance top-notch. Packed with premium proteins and essential fats, Anookshuk delivers the balanced nutrition your dog needs to thrive. From hunting dogs to police canines, Anookshuk is trusted by professionals. Give your dog the power of peak performance with Anookshuk Professional Dog Food.
We are live from Studio B. It is a
wonderful Monday. So we're going to go with Motivational Monday. Okay. So this is one of the quotes I use. I tell my daughter this. I tell my training group this. I tell everybody this. Don't be disappointed with the results you didn't get from the work you didn't do. There's your motivation for Monday. And I know this is dropping on Wednesday. So there you go. I'm going to rock it out. I just want to apologize in advance. I'd like to have a guest on every other What's Up Wednesday. But because of scheduling the last couple of weeks, it has been extremely tough. We've had to do makeup basketball and makeup volleyball tournaments. And it's just been busy. One of the guests that I was going to have on, actually, same thing, travel ball, keeping him busy. And then the other guest I was going to have on, which hopefully he'll be on next week, I had to cancel on him because a basketball game had to be rescheduled, and it ended up being on the same night that I had scheduled a recording. So I'm sorry you guys got to listen to me two weeks in a row, but just trying to get something together to put out. So that's it. Last week was busy. And, you know, first and foremost, I finally got the 10 on my, everybody at work calls it my lean-to, on my boat barn. That's what we're going to call it, the boat barn. So I finally got the 10 on it, and I put the freaking, ridge cap on. I did it right, but I messed it up, so I've got to go back and redo one of those. I put the screws in the wrong place. I was up on top and was in a hurry and started putting screws in it, and then realized that they needed to be in the ridge and not on the flat. So got to go back and fix that really, really quick. And it should be good. And hopefully, I don't know, maybe after turkey season, May-ish, I can get up there a couple evenings, and I'm going to close both ends in, get that done, and then just a little bit at a time, I can start working on it. So, hey, progress is being made. We had a makeup volleyball tournament this weekend. The girls, they rescheduled a tournament that got canceled in Tennessee. They actually had it at Virginia Tech, which is good for me. But at the same time, a couple guys from work, we had scheduled a fishing trip down to Santee Cooper. So if the guys out west or other guys listening to this, Santee Cooper's in South Carolina. It's supposed to be like one of the catfishing capitals of the world, like supposed to be awesome catfishing. I've never been. My brother's been a couple times. So we decided, hey, we're gonna book a trip for the weekend. So we did. And again, that's why my schedule's kind of all out of whack. And we left work. We didn't even work Friday. We drove down, took our time, and we stopped at two or three places. And, you know, the last stop was at the good old Bass Pro, which I can't drive by one without stopping. But picked up a few things that I'll need throughout our season here. Man, I don't know. You guys, do y'all use braid on your, you know, I fish the river. I'm not fishing the lakes much. I fish the river, and I have pretty much changed all of my spinning rods and my casting rods, the reels. It doesn't matter. I pretty much got braid on everything, and, you know, using a leader off of that. I do have two spinning rods with just regular mono on it. So I really like the braid. I get a further cast with it. And I just like it better. And so one of the guys that went with me, you know, we were down there and I was going through, and I actually found, I really like the Seaguar camo, the tactical pattern. That's kind of one of my favorites. Not saying it's the best. It's just one that I like to use on my bass poles. Okay. I use something completely different on my musky rods. But anyway, we were talking about it. He's like, well, this is only 150 yards. And I'm like, yeah, man, you know, you use a filler on it. So I always, if I'm taking line off, I just take it about halfway down. And then, you know, I tie the good old trusty uniknot and put the braid on it. And then the same thing, if I put a leader on it, I do the same. So anyway, I was able to find some of that, which I was tickled to death because I usually cannot find the camo, the Seaguard camo. So I bought me a couple of spools of that. I actually got me I used my gift card for Christmas and got me another St. Croix. And I've got I'm telling you, the reels that I'm using, the Flugers, the Presidente, I've got all kinds of different reels. And I do. I've got, you know, some higher quality reels and some lower quality reels. But the Fluger for the price point, you can't beat it. And that's most, I got it on I got my trout poles were Flugers. I've got my I've got three spinning rods that are Flugers. And I do have a couple of Shimano's. And of course my casting reels are the Shimano 2. So I do like that reel. I can't say that I don't. So anyway, so got to stop there, pick up a few things that I needed, and man, we headed on down to Sumter, South Carolina. I'll tell you a little bit about this trip because we laughed. So we took one of our buddies with us that his name is Mike Nelson. We call him Gump, the Gumpster. And we just got him into fishing this past year. He fished a couple of tournaments with me this past summer, and he bought him a kayak and he got him a couple rods and everything. And, you know, we've got him lined up, and he's never caught a catfish ever. So he was excited to go. And one of our other buddies at work said, hey, so we rented a Airbnb. We are going to stop and pick up some groceries. You know, we don't really want to go out and eat. So we're like, oh, we'll just fix supper Friday night, Saturday night. No big deal. So we brought some, you know, hamburger meat, a couple steaks out of the freezer. So he's like, yeah, there's a food line right off the exit. And we're like, okay. So we get down there and it's getting close. It's not dark yet, but it's getting close. So, you know, Siri or Google, whatever, Randy's running the MapQuest or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it's telling us, you know, to turn here and turn there. So we get within like two and a half miles of where we're going. And we're like, well, where's the food line? So Gump, we're like, hey, punch it in, see where it's at. He's like, there ain't no food line within 30 miles of here. So we haven't got on the guy at work yet, but we're really going to rag him. There was a food line. It was all the way around on the other side of the lake, nowhere really close to where we was at. So I tell you that story so I can prep you for what's about to happen. All right. So we get our stuff unloaded and we need to pick up a few things. We need some something to go with the hamburger. So we need like French fries or chips or something. And we need some drinks. Like we need to buy a case of water and just some stuff that we need. And we're going to pack sandwiches for Sunday or Saturday. So, you know, we need some bread and, you know, some ham, turkey, whatever. My go-to is a PB&J, but none of them wanted a PB&J. So we're looking at Google Maps and whatever, and we're like, okay, there's a DG 6 miles from where we're at. So we all decide to go to the DG. So we load up and down the road we go, and we get to the DG, and, you know, we're picking up, you know, stuff that we need, and we picked up all of our supplies, and we decided we're just going to split it. So I grab, you know, a handful of stuff, and I'm going through the self-checkout. So I'm scanning all the stuff. I mean, I got some Gatorades and, I don't know, some snacks and I don't know what all I got. So I buy some bananas. So I get to the bananas and I can scan them, but I can't ring them up. They will not let me put the code in. And then bananas are 4011. All bananas are 4011, I'm assuming. So I can't get them to take it. So everybody else is done paid. They're sitting there waiting on me and they're like, come on, man, you done broke the machine. So I'm sitting there And Liz, there was two people working in the DG, and I walked around, I couldn't find the one guy. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm just gonna get in line and go through line like everybody else, and I'll just end the paper. So I grab the bags because I've already got the bags loaded. Like, they're loaded. The only thing that's not in is the bananas. And I walk over to get in line, and there's three people in front of me. Well, 5 minutes before this, there's a gentleman that comes in the door, and he about falls. I don't know if he tripped or slipped or what, but I catch him out of the corner of my eye, and he about falls. Well, the one of the guys with me is like, hey, man, you all right? He's like, yeah, I got it. So he goes over and picks up a case of water, and he's already in line in front of me, okay? So I'm standing like 4 feet away from him, and we're standing there, and, you know, the poor lady that was ringing us up, man, she was having a time. So I'm sitting there, I'm just waiting, and all of a sudden, I see this big puddle of water in the floor, and I'm like, oh, well, where did that come from? That wasn't here. And it took me a minute to register. So I look, and it's the guy that about fell when he come through the door. And he's holding the case of water. And I'm like, oh, like somebody, it must have busted a bottle or something. So he sets the case of water down. And I'm like, oh, no, that water didn't bust. He has urinated all down his legs. I mean, clear as day. So he stands there for a second. He looks around. He picks his water case back up, takes two steps out of this puddle. And this puddle is, it's big around as like two basketball. Like, it's a pretty good, it's a probably two foot in diameter. Like, it's a pretty big puddle. And when he steps out of it, I mean, he's tracking it towards the counter. So me being the police officer, like, I'm smelling, I'm like, is this guy, is he drinking? Is he drunk? Like, what's going on here? Like, what in the world? So I couldn't get close to that. I didn't want to, honestly, but I couldn't smell alcohol on him. But there's no way that this guy was not hammered to do what he did. And I mean, this is right in the middle of the floor at the DG. Like, holy smokes. So he takes his water case up, and he never puts it down. The girl rings it up. He holds it in one hand and pushes it up against the counter and grabs his wallet, throws her a 20. She gives him some change. He takes that right hand, he puts it back in his pocket, and he waddles right out of the store. And I'm like, of the things you see, what in the world is going on at the DG? So anyway, I go out. Everybody's in the truck waiting on me. They're like, what are you doing? What took you so long? And I tell them that story, and they're rolling. They're like, they're rolling. And so that was our excitement for Friday night. We went back, fixed us some burgers. So we get up Saturday morning, and the guy that we're fishing with, of course, we paid a guide. He comes up. We're literally on this peninsula. We're right on the water. Like, you know, beautiful, right on the water, got a dock going out. I don't remember what the point was called. It was on, though. She had, the lady that owned the Airbnb had a thing up that said Point Pleasant, but I know that's not what it was called. So we get up. He's picking us up at 8 o'clock. We got everything carried out. Oh, yeah. So we're going for 2 days. We're going Friday night and Saturday night. Okay. Gump has packed everything but the kitchen sink. He bought a tote. And when I say a tote, I mean one of them that you go to Lowe's or Home Depot or Royal King, the big, big totes, like the 30-gallon totes. He's got one of them stuffed plumb full. He's got a duffel bag that you could hide a body in. He's got another bag, a cooler, and a backpack. And we're like, Gump, what? He's like, well, I didn't know what to pack, so I just brought everything. He literally brought everything. He had paper towels and toilet paper, sleeping bags. I mean, you name it, he had it. So he transferring this over to the boat. We're like, no, just we're taking a cooler, and we'll put our drinks in it. We'll put our sandwiches in it. That's it. We're not taking anything else. So we cooled that a little bit, and we get out, and of course we meet the guy. He pulls up at a little bit before 8 o'clock, and you know, we told him, we was like, man, it's gonna be a long day. Like, you're gonna have to put up with us. It's gonna be a long day. But anyway, we put out, and we went to the first place we were fishing. And I'm telling you, like I said, I've never been to Santee Cooper. My brother's been, but I don't think I ever remember him telling me that, like, there's so many trees, like, in that lake everywhere, like, everywhere. I mean, we'd be running down the lake, and, you know, the captain would back the boat off, and I'm like, well, we fishing here? He's like, nah, there's a sandbar. It's got some trees. And I'd watch his screen on the fish finder, man, and it dropped down to, like, 4 foot, and we'd slide over it, and then boom, it dropped down, you know, to 8 or 10, whatever, and we take back off. And like, it was a really good experience. But so we go to the first fishing hole, and Nelson, he catches the first fish, and it's a little old, I think it's a bullcat. Maybe that's what he was said. They don't get very big, but anyway, this thing was probably 16, 18 inches. So he gets it up. He's holding it up, and the guy's like, oh, what are you going to do with that? And he's like, well, I'm kind of a catch and release man. So he tosses it over, and the guy's like, no, you can't turn the first fish loose. It's bad luck, which was a joke, right? It was a joke. And he's like, no, man, no, no. He's like, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know. So we literally rode him all day long. And we rode him because the bite was really slow. We ended up we caught some fish. We caught some nice fish. I'll put some pictures up for you. Caught some nice fish. Had lots of laughs. But at the end of the day, we're like, yeah, Gump, you know, there you go. You threw the first fish back, and he went and told all his buddies that, you know, there's a bunch of yahoos out here, and this is what they're using for bait, so don't bite it. And we about had him half believed in it. In fact, I think he still believes that. When he was at work today, we were still aggravating him about that. But we caught some fish. The guy done everything he could, you know, to get us on fish. Like, at one point in time, we were literally sitting over a school of them, and we done everything except the Marcel Ledbetter and throw some dynamite in there. Like, they were not hitting. We followed the birds around. I mean, he pulled out every trick in the book. I mean, he really did. And he did a good, you know, he tried. You could tell he was trying. He kept us out about an hour, a little over an hour, hour and a half, longer than he should have, just trying to get us on some fish. But we had a good time. It's always a good time to go somewhere different, to experience something new. And yeah, like, I GoPro'd a lot of that. I videoed a lot of that trip. So I'll be posting that on my YouTube page when I get a chance to sit down and edit it. It's a lot of stuff I got to go through. But anyway, I'll post some clips in this too. But yeah, that's what we were doing this weekend. I missed Maddie's and Kenna's volleyball game Saturday because they had rescheduled last week, and we had already scheduled this like a month ago. So we get up, you know, 6 o'clock Sunday morning, and we haul freight back north to Virginia, and actually got to make their games for Sunday. But the guys, I hated to make them rush like that, but I wanted to get back so I could watch them. So, gracious that they was good enough to me to get up that early and roll back northbound. So yeah, that's what was going on this weekend. So
are you looking to have your dog transported to be kept safe, clean, comfortable? Then the ultimate hound transportation experience is with Muddy River. At Muddy River Transport, we understand that your dog's comfort and safety come first. That's why we offer premium dog hauling services that go above and beyond. Why choose us? We use ozone sterilization after every run. We use an advanced ozone machine to thoroughly disinfect and sanitize our van after each journey. This ensures that your dog travels in a clean, hygienic, and safe environment. Top of the line comfort. Our spacious climate control van is equipped with comfortable, secure spaces designed to keep your dog relaxed and safe during transport. Professional and experienced drivers. Our friendly Trained drivers are passionate about dogs and dedicated to ensuring the dog's journey is smooth and stress-free. Communication is key. Count on us for route updates, dog check-ins, and projected times. We respect your time and your dog's needs. For a stress-free, safe, hygienic transport experience, book today and give your dog the best ride of their life. We believe our customers' dogs deserve to be treated like we would treat our own. We aren't just dog haulers. We are active houndsmen. When not on the road, we are hunting our own hounds. Travel safe, travel clean, travel comfortable. Every trip, every time, with Muddy River Transport. Contact us on Facebook at Muddy River Transport Group or call 1-402-274-7558. A little bit of dog stuff. This will be short and sweet, but it's simple, and it's something I think about. I was thinking about it, I don't know, last week. So let's just talk about lead-breaking dogs, okay? This is very simple. Everybody's got their own little way, their little niche, what they do. And I, for one, I try to cram a lot of stuff into a very short amount of time. You guys hear me say 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day. Well, the last couple litters that I've done, I took one of my canine training exercises, which is it's what we call a flex pole. So basically it looks like a fishing pole. It's about 5 foot long. It's fiberglass. It bends and it's got a tether on the end of it. And it's got a stake. You stick it in the ground and it literally will spin. So the dog's got a 6 foot radius. Okay. So when you're teaching a dog down or you want to do something that's controlled where he can't just get up and go wherever he wants, we use this, the flex pole. And you can even do obedience off of it. Like you can heel your dog in, you know, in a circle, make him turn, come back. It gives you a way to control the dog, limit his movement, which means away from you, and be able to do it without your hands technically on him. So anyway, so I started using my tie out, right? Y'all seen me post some pictures. I've got a couple tie outs that I got from Dogs Are Treed. You know, Kevin makes a really good tie out. I like them. They're really good. So I've got 2 5 dogs or maybe a 6 5. Anyway, I was using one of my tie outs. And what I do is I've got a flagpole in my front yard and the fence is right down from it. So what I do is I put one end around the bottom of the flagpole and I run the other one to the fence and hook it up. And what I do is I get the dogs to come to eat. So I put food in a bowl and I carry the bowls and I set the bowls down. And when they go to eat, I just hook them up. And that's how I start this process. And it allows me to do multiple dogs at one time. Okay. So that's why I'm using it. It allows me to do multiples. Okay. So the first day that I've done this with the 3 that I'm working right now, they, you know, they do the typical end of the lead. You're putting pressure on the collar. They're not sure what's going on. They'll run around, run circles. They'll pull against it. They'll keep it tight. They'll freeze up, you know, whatever. So the first day was typical and it wasn't long. Like I literally put them out there long enough to feed them. I went down to my bottom kennels, fed and cleaned, and I come right back up and literally. So 10 minutes, and then I let them run around and do everything and go from there. So I'm on day 4 and I will put a picture up right now. If you're watching the video, day 4, they're all standing there wagging their tail like, okay. So what I'm doing at this point is I'm actually calling them. They come to me, I hook them up. And when I hook them up, I set the food down and feed them. So it's just a little simple process. It allows me to do multiple dogs at one time while I'm doing other things. So I'm killing 2 birds with 1 stone. I'm feeding, I'm cleaning, and I'm putting lead pressure on the dogs while they are eating, which is a positive association. And it just seems like it moves it along a little further. Now, I will say that the dogs are 4 months old, so I'm a little behind the curve. You know, a lot of people like to start lead training at a very young age, you know, 12, 16, 13, 14, 16 weeks old. Perfect. It's great. The last two, three litters, actually, the B litter, the C litter, and these, I've waited a little bit longer. Now, I've got the recall down, like I can whistle, and if them buggers can hear me, they coming at Mach 4. But every time I whistle, they get fed. They get something. Either I got it in my hand, and they get to eat out of my hand, or I drop some kibble on the ground where I'm standing. I have not started the trailing process yet. So, oh, yeah, I have. I've done a couple, two or three trails with them. I just haven't. The weather's been so bad, I haven't been able to do what I need to do. Plus, you know, lot work and travel ball and everything else that's going on. It's been busy. Like January and February has been extremely busy. And I'm finding myself, I've got all these plans in the first of the year. And like I said, here it is, middle of February. And I'm like, I've not done any of that. Like, I've not done anything that I wanted to do. So anyway, I'm using a tie out to start the lead breaking process. Now, I will say, and I thought about this today, because when I knew I was going to talk about it, I'm like, you know, I want to be very transparent and upfront. It does not completely lead break your dogs. When you put that lead dog on a lead, a 6 foot lead or a 5 foot lead or whatever you're carrying, the dog's going to run to the end of it and, you know, well around and do whatever. Some, not all. So let's just say 50-50. You're going to get half of them that, you know, still don't understand because you're changing the environment on them, right? You're not getting fed. You're not on a tie out that's staked to the ground. You're putting something else on them. So the pressure's on top of their back, not pulling down to the ground. It changes everything. So I just want to be upfront. Like, it doesn't completely fix the leading, okay? But over the next couple of series of these podcasts, I'm going to give you a couple tips and tricks that I use. And again, you're probably already doing this stuff already. It's just something that I kind of go back to the basics. Like, you know, let's start all over here. What do we need to do? What is some things that I can do to make it easier? And, you know, my whole loading process, I incorporate all of it. Like, I do one thing at a time, and I do those micro, I do the micro thing. I do one little thing here, one little thing here, one little thing here. And then I add those three things together to make a complex task, right? Same thing I do in my canine training. Like, I do one little thing, one little thing, one little thing, one little thing. And the next thing you know, I've got my dog turned loose in a warehouse and searching 200,000 square feet for a person, finding the person, alerting to the person, and then letting me know where the person's at. Like, there's multiple tasks tied up in a building search. So I do the same thing with my hounds. And I try to break it down into the most micro tasks that there are. So before I let you go, I've got two dogs. I think I talked to you about this, but they were running, you know, they're running my neighbor's vehicles. And after the whole chicken incident, like, I do not want them going 3/4 of a mile up to Chloe and Rob's and getting back in their chickens. Like, I don't want that to happen. So today I had Miles out and he heard a car coming and I seen him perk up, head turned, and I'm like, crap. And I tried to get my hands on him, but about the time I went to move, he took off. And Rob went up the driveway and he went about halfway up the hill, which is too far. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use the tie out for a different task. So I'm going to move the tie out up to the edge of my property where their driveway goes up. And I'm going to tie him out in the evenings because, you know, Chloe and Rob come home and I want them to drive by him where he can't go. Okay. And I know what he's going to do. I know the behavior I'm going to get. He's gonna throw a fit. He's gonna be barking and bouncing and, you know, trying to go. So I'm gonna let that happen a day or two, and see where he's at. It may be just, I may just do it one time. I don't know. We'll see. I want to see what his behavior is. And then I'll start applying some pressure to calm that behavior. And when I do that, I'm going to have to kind of work backwards a little bit. I want to make it where he knows that this is not acceptable, that we don't do this. We're not chasing cars. And I'll kind of work through that. So as I do that, like I said, I was thinking about that today. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to move it there. And I'm going to do two things at one time. I'm going to feed him, of course. And then when they drive by, I'll be able to correct him, even though I may or may not have E on him, but he's not going to be allowed to go because I'm going to have him tethered, right? So one step at a time, one little tiny task, one mini task, micro task, whatever you want to call it at a time. So I'm actually going to flip that and use it in another scenario and see how he acts with it. So there's where we're at. Guys, it's been busy. Hopefully next week we'll talk some more about, hounds and the cost of hounds and what we look for in hounds. That's my plan. I've got two more interviews to do with that. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you on What's Up Wednesday.
Do you like to be outdoors like I do? If so, unlock the wilderness with Onyx Maps. It is your ultimate guide to exploring, hunting, and conquering the great outdoors. With detailed maps, real-time tracking, and exclusive access to public and private lands, Onyx Maps is your key to adventure. Discover the possibilities and never get lost again with Onyx. So subscribe today using the promo code K920. Letter K, number 9, 20, and know where you stand.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence. Helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.